of a cathedral. Probably it was even known by the people at that time that the door to the cathedral was considered to be wide and perhaps open in a sense to those who lived at that time. And as he was looking for a way to describe the way in which he had been injured, he said, "'Tis not as wide as a church door." If we were describing the church building today, we might have some buildings where the Lord's people meet where the door would be rather wide, and others where it is not so wide. In fact, if we were describing this building, I would not know where to talk about the church door. We have six exits or entrances, as the case may be, in this auditorium. And then when you add what's in the foyer, we really have seven ways to come into the building or out to get out of the building. There's one thing about that I don't like. I wish I had the opportunity to stand at the door and greet every one of you who's here at every service. But when I'm away preaching in a meeting, especially in a smaller building that has one entrance and one exit, and especially when the local preacher's grandchildren are visiting that day and he has them at the door and has to talk to every member that comes out about them, I am thankful that we have at least six entrances here. But I think you realize already that it is not that kind of church door that we're talking about tonight. In John, the 10th chapter and verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said, "I am the door." How wide is the church door? We need to understand, as we begin to look at this from a spiritual vantage point and in light of what the Bible has to say, that the same act that puts one into the church is the act that puts one into Christ. Both Romans 6:3-4 and Galatians 3:27 teach that we are baptized into Jesus Christ and into his death. But 1 Corinthians 12:13 states that we are baptized into one body. And that body is clearly identified in several passages as being the church, the spiritual body, the called out people of Christ. And so a person enters Jesus Christ and enters his church at the same time. In fact, if the church is the body of Christ, it would be impossible to be in the body without being in Christ. And that's the portion of Christ that is referred to as his body. The word door, of course, always suggests the idea of an entrance. So we clearly understand, I hope, that we're talking tonight about entering into Christ and into his body. How wide is the church door? Anyone who makes the blueprint for a building and builds that building has the right to put the door where he wants it and to make the door exactly the width that he wants it to be. Since God is the one who brought about the blueprint of the church and of Jesus Christ as our Savior, even planned before the world began, Ephesians 3:9-11. And since Christ is the one who promised to build his church, Matthew 16:18, and who says in many other ways and is backed up by other Bible writers in so many passages that he is the one who laid the foundation and built the church, then it is God, it is Christ who has the right to put the door where God wants it to be, and to make it just as narrow or just as wide as he wants it to be. The problem is that sometimes you and I can make it more narrow than God makes it or wider than he makes it. It is interesting that just after Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," which would include the door, the entrance, that he immediately said, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Literally was saying, whatever you teach on earth, especially talking to the apostles who would be guided by the Holy Spirit to teach the truth, the complete truth, be reminded of what Christ had taught them, that what you go out and teach, and remember this is in the verse just after he says, "I will build my church," whatever you go out and teach, you're not to bind something that God doesn't bind, and you're not to loose where God has not loosed. I really think that we may have a problem today of making the church door wider than God intended, but we also may have a problem of making it more narrow sometimes than he intended. Let's look at it from both of those angles. First, the door of the church that belongs to our Lord, the one for which he shed his blood and purchased it with his blood, is narrow, described by the Savior himself. Most of us are familiar with that passage in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in, that has to be talking about a door. Enter ye in at the straight gate, and that's S-T-R-A-I-T, meaning difficult. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I understand this passage, along with others, to show that there is a sense in which Jesus says the door to the church is narrow. It is not wide enough for some people under some circumstances. The door into the church is not wide enough to let somebody in who does not believe that Jesus Christ is the way. And there are many people in the world today who do not accept Christ as the answer, who accept some other type of prophet, some other way by man, or in some instances believe that they can take care of themselves, particularly in areas related to humanism, and have no need for Christ, do not believe that he is necessary at all. A person who has that attitude cannot enter into the New Testament church as long as he has that attitude. Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The door to Christ in the New Testament church is not wide enough for somebody to come in unless he is willing to recognize that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the only way of salvation. It is narrow in that sense. Expanding that idea a bit, looking in John the 8th chapter for a moment, we find that unless a person believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there is no way that he can enter through the door into the church. And that is emphasized again in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. You remember in Acts 8, the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And having shown you what's taught in Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, 1 Corinthians 12:13, the eunuch in a sense was saying, What hinders me to be in Christ and in his church? And the eunuch was told by Philip, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The church door is not wide enough for someone who is a non-believer to enter. And again to that passage there in John 8, especially verse 24, Jesus said, Except ye believe that I am he. And I'm persuaded the better translation is, Except you believe that I am. Which is the way that a reference is made to God, to the Godhead. Except you believe that I am God's son, that I'm a part of God, ye shall die in your sins. Three verses earlier, he said, If you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. The church door is not wide enough for anyone who has a disbelief or a failure to believe or a lack of belief in Jesus Christ as a part of the great I am. The church door is not wide enough for an active sinner to enter. Now be sure you hear what I say here because I want you to compare and contrast this with something that will be said a bit later. The church door is not wide enough for an active sinner to enter. Jesus himself said twice in Luke 13, verse 3, verse 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent or unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul said, Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he listed 10 different types of sin. He listed fornication, idolatry, adultery, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, and those that are guilty of slandering others. He mentions those in two different ways, things associated with that. He said, These cannot inherit the kingdom of God. As long as you're active in that kind of sin, you cannot enter into Christ and into his church, because the church door is not wide enough, in the same sense that heaven's door is not wide enough, Revelation 21:27, for active sin to enter in. Therefore, one who is an active sinner cannot enter into Jesus Christ and into his body. And let me just pause long enough in passing to suggest to you that I think in this point lies the answer to what is a problem with some people sometimes, when there are those living in certain types of sin who will say, but God will forgive any sin. Yes, he will forgive any sin if a person becomes inactive in it and is penitent of it. But the door to the church is not wide enough for any person to come into Christ and into his body and bring active sin with him. And the door of the church is not wide enough for a person who refuses to submit himself in baptism for the remission of sins to enter. You remember the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John 3? He said to Nicodemus that except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom is a synonym for the church of our Lord in many passages throughout the New Testament. He said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, and there is no other act in the Bible that will fit all that is said there and take into consideration all of those factors except baptism in water, having conceived by the teaching of the Spirit that which is right in the sight of God, and buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, he said, unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you cannot enter. And we need to stop and think seriously about so many of our own family and friends who are such good people in so many ways, who do not believe that baptism is necessary to get into Christ and into the church, and to realize that God put baptism at the door of the church to keep the active sinner out. And because he is the builder, had the right to put the door anywhere he wanted to. And we believe very strongly from the teaching of the Bible that that's exactly where he put it. Paul was told, go into Damascus and it'll be told you what you must do. Ananias said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 9:6, 22:16. Folks, the door to the church is not wide enough to let anybody into Christ and his body who will deny Christ as the Son of God, who will not believe in Christ as the Savior, who will not repent of sins, and who will not submit himself to scriptural baptism for the remission of sins. In that sense, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Yet, four chapters later, in Matthew 11, at verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The same Savior that said in the seventh chapter, the door to the church is not wide enough in some ways, now says it is wide enough for everybody if the door to the church, the door to Jesus Christ, is wide enough for any person who will come in the way God tells him to open the door and to enter. Come unto me all. Notice that word all. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means the rankest criminal that's living anywhere in the world today. And there are some that are so rank that it's hard to even hear them talked about without righteous indignation rising in one's thinking. But he says, come unto me all ye that labor. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There is a sense in which the door of the church may be wider than we sometimes think it is. It is wide enough that race should never be a problem. It is wide enough that one's nationality does not have to be considered. It is wide enough for both men and women, male and female, Galatians 3:28. It is wide enough for the one who is free, but also for the one who is bound, if he's willing to do what God has told him to do. It is wide enough for the young person who's just old enough to understand the plan of salvation. It is wide enough for the 100-year-old man who hears for the first time, or maybe after many years of knowing about Christ, decides to become a Christian. In Ephesians 2:14 through 16, broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of the twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, that's the church, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he's talking mainly about the Jews and the Gentiles and the prejudice that existed, where some of the Jews thought the door to the church is not wide enough for the Gentiles. And maybe where some of, both of them, thought the door of the church is not wide enough for the Samaritan. Paul is saying Jesus died on the cross and he made the door to the church wide enough for any type of person. As far as all these different ideas that we've just discussed are concerned. In Colossians 3, verse 11, he says about the same thing that he says in Galatians 3 and verse 28. He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, he's not talking in these passages about some of the misapplications that are made, that there are no differences amongst us and there are no limitations on any of us. These passages are being taken out of context and used in the wrong way to teach error today. But let's don't let that keep us from seeing the truth in it, that the door of the church is wide enough for any person of any background if he is willing to put aside those things that make it impossible for him to enter, those things that we just discussed a moment ago. In fact, it is interesting, having pointed out 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 a moment ago and talking about how the church door is somewhat narrow in that sense, to also look at verse 11. You see, after he mentions all these 10 sins in verses 9 and 10 and says that they cannot inherit the kingdom of God, they cannot be in the kingdom of God if they're active in those sins, thank God for verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I understand that to be saying that some of you very folks who were living in the mire of sin that's just been described have changed, and now you are in Christ. You have been washed. You have been baptized. Your sins have been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. You are sanctified. You're set apart with that called out group. You are justified. You're no longer in that sin. But notice the difference. The same door to the church that is too narrow for the active sinner to enter is wide enough for any penitent, obedient sinner to enter. It is wide enough for any penitent, obedient sinner to enter. I don't believe there's a person on this earth but who can become a Christian if he really wants to. Now let me go back and underscore again. We may not sometimes understand all that's involved in repentance. And there's where the issue is many times, of what's involved in repentance. But if a person is willing to repent, can you name me anything worse than this list of 10 sins in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10? Well, those are some of the rankest sins as we tend to count rankness of sin. I'm not for sure exactly how God counts them. Sin is sin, and any sin can cause us to be left out of Christ if we're not penitent, or left out of heaven if we live in it. But here are some that we at least think are some of the worst. And he said, you very people who were living in this kind of sin, you are now in Christ. You're washed, you're sanctified, and you are justified. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, I was chiefest of sinners. And yet he says, now I'm in Christ. In Revelation 2, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says that God gave Jezebel space or time to repent, and she repented not. You know, Jezebel has come to be the name that is associated with the very rankest of evil, especially as we think about women who are not living as they should. If you take Paul, who calls himself the chiefest of sinner, and Jezebel, who certainly was a chief of sinner in many ways, you see two who are certainly people that are far away from the kind of life that a Christian ought to live, and yet Paul says, I was able to come into Jesus Christ. And it is said even Jezebel would have been able to if she had been willing to repent and be obedient. I say to you tonight that the door of the church is wide enough for the Jezebels of this world if they will change their lifestyles and their sin and obey Jesus Christ and be in him. That beloved John 3:16 says that he died for whosoever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Folks, that means anybody who really wants to. And wants to badly enough to submit himself to the will of God, whosoever. The last chapter of the Bible includes that whosoever in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He has to will. He has to want to. He has to come God's way. But the same church door that is too narrow for active sin to come in is just wide enough to take every person in this world who will believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, repent of their sins, confess that belief before men, and be buried with their Lord in baptism for the remission of sin. That's exactly how wide the church door is. And I understand that to mean that it's wide enough for you and me. There's not a person in this audience tonight who has to stay outside of Christ and his church, because the church door is wide enough for everybody if we're willing to quit sin, become inactive to our problems of sin, come into Jesus Christ, and be in contact with that blood that will help us to live, though we make mistakes, that will take care of our sins, because we're in Christ and in his church. The church door is wide enough for you to enter. And you can tonight if you need to and want to. Just together we stand and sing.
Why from the sunshine?